Let's turn in our Bibles now to 1 Timothy in chapter 6, the last chapter of the letter from Paul to Timothy, the first one. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll be reading verses 1 through 21 of God's Word. Starting in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, these are God's words. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who have supposed that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. And those are God's word. This chapter is the last to Timothy in the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and so it deals with many duties and warnings to this young pastor. He reminds Timothy of the duties of servants under suffering and a Christian master in the first couple verses. And those are applicable words for all of us here, especially if you are workers under bosses. If there then be any who are, as it goes on, verse 3 and following, if there are any who are false teachers, any who are not preaching the gospel, then such are to be withdrawn from. I know that some of your translations don't have that, and yet it's there in the original. You are to withdraw from false teachers. Through verse 10, we are to pursue godliness, contentment, and abstain from covetousness. This is what Timothy was to teach the church that he was over. And so this is for us. We are to pursue godliness, contentment, and abstain from covetousness, as he was to do, considering that verses 11 and 12. You look there, these things, kind of like the fruit of the Spirit, these things are to be pursued by us. And then there's a solemn charge given to Timothy in verses 13 through 16. He says, I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. And it goes on. That commandment, that he keep this commandment without spot, blameless. That is, that he would keep everything that's written in this book, this letter, for the good of the church and the spread of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And then he instructs Timothy to charge the rich, to call them to humility and not pride. And then a charge to Timothy at the very end, verse 20, to the end, not to get fooled by the profane and idle babblings of what is so-called knowledge. And I see today many young men aspiring to great knowledge and doctrine, having followed in this way, they're having found very intelligent men, and they're studying their writings, and yet they're false teachers that they're studying. And so we ought to pray, especially for the young men of the church, especially those studying for the ministry, going to seminary, those people, those men, because it is a road filled with temptation. The devil would love nothing more than to disrupt those men and make them false teachers too, and to keep them from serving the kingdom of Christ. And so we ought to pray for them. We ought to pray for the church, that we would be kept from error and continue proclaiming the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. Those are the two things we ought to pray for. So let's go to the Lord and pray now. Our gracious Father, we are thankful for the church. We're thankful for this letter that teaches us a lot about the church and what the church ought to be, how the church ought to conduct itself, and even its government with elders and deacons. Father, we're thankful for the many duties required and called for to be done by pastors and elders to shepherd the sheep and the flock of God. And we ask that you would help, especially the elders of our congregation, to be discerning, seeing those things that are errors in the church, false teachings, even sins of the flock and even ourselves, that we would be turning from those things, rebuking those things, warning about those things, and training, as we'll hear in 2 Timothy, training unto righteousness with the Scriptures. Father, we do pray for the young men going to seminary at our seminary. Think of Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Think of Greenville Seminary. Think of Puritan Reformed Seminary and seminaries like that. Father, we ask for your blessing and protection of heart and mind of those young men studying to be ministers of the gospel and to be missionaries and studying to be other things, maybe even professors at colleges and to teach Bible and things like that. Father, we pray that you'll protect them. Keep them by your awesome, powerful hand from error and the false teachings talked about here in these letters to Timothy. And then again, we pray for the church. That you would keep the church from error as we've prayed. And you'll protect our church and grow us. Father, we are thankful for in the past month you have provided many visitors as we've been praying for. And you seem to be answering that prayer. We pray that you'll continue bringing more and more visitors. That you would grow your church. You would grow this congregation. Again, not for our own glory. Not that we would be exalting ourselves. But that we would be exalting you, the God who builds this church. Pray that you will build your church amongst our congregation, and that you will grow us and make us more, to give us greater strength and bless us. And we pray that you would increase our labors in your kingdom, for we are weak and frail, and we often back away from serving you, but we pray that you will raise up those who will bring your word and evangelize. And we know that we need such because the fields are white for harvest, as you say. And your Spirit is ready and willing to call sinners through us to yourself. So, Father, we pray that you will do so. And I ask that you would give wisdom to those who are now considering whether or not to join us. Father, we know that there are a few, and so we pray that you'll watch over them and give them wisdom and discernment. If this is the right congregation that they should join and commit to and take vows before, we pray for their children as well, that they would come to faith, they would believe in you. We praise you for the baby in the womb of John and Becky, and that you would bring about that child to be healthy in the next month or so. And ask that you would bless the ladies gathering in a couple weeks as they celebrate baby and the birth of that child. We pray that gathering would be time of that they'd be able to pray together, and that they'd be able even maybe to sing praises unto you for the children that you bring unto your congregation. And Father, we do ask for again healing to Dina and Jeannie, especially, but those who are not feeling well this evening, the Nichols and Patricia, and Larry too, and ask for your special blessing upon them, and also Chuck. Father, heal their bodies for your glory. And again, as we prayed this morning, Father, we know that you are the God who heals. You promised to heal our bodies, but we pray that we will accept and trust your providence, that you'll heal them at the right time, and that may even be in glory and not here. And so we pray that you'll strengthen our bodies to get through the struggles that we deal with. And so, Father, be with us. And then also suffering, as we think of that, Father, we ask that you would strengthen us in our minds, in our hearts, to endure the suffering that we must endure for your glory. Father, may your name be given all praise, for you have given us of your Son. You've given us all things in him, in union with him, and we pray that you will grow us in communion with him, as we've studied recently. We ask that you would be glorified, and that we, those whom you have saved, whom you have justified and brought to yourself and reconciled us to yourself, Father, we ask that you would strengthen our souls and give us a greater faith in you. We pray for our children, the children here this evening, Oliver and Ezekiel. We ask for their that you would save them, that you would change their hearts, and you would cause them to believe in faith the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know they profess it with their mouths. We pray that it would be true in their hearts and there would be fruit being produced. Father, send your Spirit. We pray the same for any here who do not know you, and any who will listen later. Father, we ask for their souls and their hearts, that you would change them and make them new. In Christ alone, for we pray in his name. Amen.